Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Solar Sales Uncensored. I am so fired up for today's content. Our episode, by the way, I'm just going to share the title, just to wow everybody, just to grab everyone's attention, is The Remote Sales Prodigy, Mastering the Art of Virtual Selling. And I want to be crystal clear on this. I know virtual selling is all over the place. One of my favorite books written by Jeb Blunt is behind me, you know, mastering that topic. But I want to be clear before I introduce our guest. When I talk about virtual selling for my personal business, I'm talking about on a webcam. I'm talking about over Zoom, right? And I get a lot of slack. Well, you can't do that. We're going to talk about how you can. But this young man that I'm about to introduce causes me to think bigger, way, way bigger. When I say virtual and I share some of the numbers this guy is killing, by the way, I'm talking about 100% over the phone virtual. You want to talk about like, whoa, Browning, think bigger. Like, that's what this guy does. That's why he is in my inner circle. His name is Garrett Mendelson. He is an absolute solar prodigy. We could not have come up with a better title. I met him about 7-8 months ago. I knew instantly. We just clicked. He is the number one salesperson for our company in the state of Virginia. He's constantly in the top three for the nation, by the way. I won't go through all his accolades. I want to bring him up here. Garrett, how the heck are you, my friend?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. I'm so freaking fired up to have you, man. You've been on the list. I know it's taken us a little bit of time to lock down schedules with as many appointments and deals you're closing. But we're excited, man. I want to remind you, because I know you are always polished. This is uncensored. So I'm going to pull a lot. I'm going to try to get some things out of you. By the way, those of you listening on the podcast or YouTube, stick around until the very end. He doesn't know the segment I'm about to hit him with. He's probably like, oh, crap. But he's going to be sharing some bombs. You do not want to miss it. Grab your notepad. But Garrett, real quick, man, if you don't mind, for those that haven't seen your name across the leaderboards, and they'd be living under a rock if they haven't now at this point, can you kind of give your quick history? What did you used to do prior to solar? How long you been in solar? That kind of stuff, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So I've actually been in solar since 2018. I got in the first week in January, and I started in the door-to-door side. So I was actually a setter for the first 3 years. And I have so many crazy stories about setting and knocking doors. I mean, from just like, oh man, like one, for example, like one day I remember when I started going, I did like 16, 17 appointments in like an 8-hour like span. It was freaking crazy. And then there was like a week where I did, I did that a few times, over 40 appointments. I think it was like in 30 hours. So yeah, I was setting for a few years. I did at a high level as well, which is like really, really fun. And then I got into closing in actually 2021, believe it or not. And then in 2021, moved to Texas to door knock with my buddy who came from the home security side, Vez. And he actually, we didn't know how to close solar. I mean, we've seen some people do it, you know, we've seen here and there. We figured it out ourselves. But I remember the first day I went out there, got inside a house, got a bill. Next day, sold my first deal. He was like, what's going on? And then that year I sold, I think it was like over 100, pretty much. I think I had a very short minute. I had one guy helping me for like a month or two with setting, but it was pretty much almost entirely self-gen my first year of closing. And then the year after,
Hold on. We gotta unpack this, man. This is why I begged, pleaded. I gave Garrett everything I could to get him on here. New to solar, knocking out 100 sales personally a year. Think about that, please. Let that sink in. Who listening to this podcast or on YouTube right now would kill to have 100 sales personally? I'm not talking about team numbers. That's personal, guys. Personal, right? This is why you have to have a notepad. What this guy is going to share. If you don't mind going back a second, though, I really want to paint the picture. What did you do prior to solar?
I was in college, actually. I got a degree in botany and a minor in zoology. Yeah. So I'm a botanist, totally, technically.
That's hilarious, man. Money well spent, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What did the parents say about you switching from botany over to solar sales?
Well, I found it my last year of college, and I actually, if I found it the year before, I probably would have dropped out. Not gonna lie. It's kind of a waste, but no, I'm just kidding. But I stuck it out. It was my last year. I was a setter, and being a setter at the time, you're only knocking, believe it or not, 20 to maybe 30 hours a week. It's like 4 hours days. But when you do appointment setting, it feels so much longer. Like a 4 hour shift feels like it's like 8 hours, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I understand that. So the days are longer when you're actually running the appointments versus actually knocking to set them.
So what I mean by that is like when you're not out there knocking for like 4 hours.
Yep.
It feels like way longer than that. So you don't really, you'll burn out essentially. So it's kind of a part-time thing. So I had enough time to do school and enough time to set appointments at the same time. And then in the beginning it made sense, cause I was like, hey, I got $15 an hour, which, you know, at the time I was like, dang, that's pretty good for a college student and 3% commission. And with the 3% commission off the load amount, it was like, I think $700 to $900 a sale at the time, because I think the average was 28,000. And then from there, you know, I remained a setter for so many years because in Utah, I was thinking, I was knocking in Utah at the time. I was thinking, hey, if I could set appointments at this level, make $900 or $700 a sale, do that multiple times a week, it's still good money as a college student. So I did that for, you know, a year, and then I 3 years in the end. And then
what were you, hold on. So what were you making a week?
I mean, as a setter, I think in the beginning, you know, it ramped up, but I pulled in, I got over 100K in commissions my first year.
Sorry guys, I get fired up. So 100K your first year, you're a college student, you're spending about 30 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Young people listening right now, there is no better career than solar sales. I'm telling you right now, he had zero experience. He goes from botany to this to making 100K. Dude, you had to be the wealthiest kid in college.
Yeah, no, it was cool, actually. It was cool. I don't know how it happened, but the owners of the company were real estate agents. And I actually bought a house that following, because normally, I don't know how they made it happen, but they did. I bought a house. And I sold it. I bought it for $282 and sold it for $510 at the end of 2011. So it was pretty cool. But yeah, it was like a 5-bedroom, 3.5-bath in a nice neighborhood, 1/2 acre, big shed, giant deck. It was a sweet house, but I got it, I think I was 25 when I bought it. Less than a year, which was like pretty nuts.
That's incredible. So back to that original question, how did you get into solar? Did someone call you up and say, hey, come try this? Was it an ad on Craigslist? Like what did it look like? How did you even find it?
Oh man, so I hate to say it, but I was a college student, had a part-time job here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad helped out, at the time. And I hate to say that, cause looking back, I should have just did stuff more. And, I remember getting an argument with a friend who was just like, all you do is just, I just go to school, and it took 8 years. I switched my major a few times because I just didn't really like know. I just didn't really know what I was doing. I just didn't really, I wasn't really like good, like super passionate or super good at, you know, the stuff I was pursuing. But then we got in an argument, and then long story short, I applied on Indeed to a lot of jobs and they called me. And I remember it was actually genetics class. I got a call from a guy named Steve. And I told him I was in school, I'll call him back. And then I had this gut impulse. I'm like, I need to call him back right now. So I left the class and got an interview set up. And then, I went from there.
So you left class because your gut told you, you listened to it. That's that entrepreneurial drive.
Yeah.
And then that first year you make 100K.
Yeah. And bought a house and here I am.
young guys and gals listening, I hope you're paying attention. I always say success leaves clues. Okay, so you start off part-time as a door knocker in school.
Yep.
You're averaging 6 figures a year in school. You're able to buy your first house. I mean, the podcast could be over, right? That alone is epic. So you're doing that for several years, I believe, and then you transition into the actual appointments, like going on appointments. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I think it was a little in 2020. So long story short, I became an assistant setter manager really quick. And then I opened a new market the following year as the setter manager. And this was in Salt Lake City. And then what happened from there is ended up leaving as a whole thing. The closer manager didn't really, we had like a 10% closing rate. Not my fault. We were setters. So my friend started a solar company and then I was helping him open that. But then COVID hit obviously. And, that kind of threw some things sideways. But then that same year, I noticed while knocking, there was a pigeon problem. And it turned out some guy bred thousands of pigeons, and animal control a few years prior let them all out. So what happened was they started nesting under all the panels and no one was really doing anything. So for a good like solid 4 or 5 months, we were making like 20-30K a month. I was going house to house and selling them a pigeon proofing solar panel cleaning company service. Or then I had my friends do the install on the roof. And we did like over 100 installs in just, I think, like 90 days or something. We had two crews at one point. And then I hate to say it, I found the reason I shut that down was my friend told me, hey, you can sell solar and make, you know, big commissions like 7-10K a deal in Texas. And I was like, wait, what? Because at the time, closers, I was under the impression, could only make 5% of the loan amount, 10%. That's what the comp plan I saw at the time. So yep. It didn't make sense. But then I saw you can make so much more money. And I was like, hey, this pigeon proofing solar panel cleaning business, it's not worth the risk. I ran it for a year after that. And then I shut it down because I was just like, it's not worth the liability to make a few hundred dollars an install when you could just make so much more with solar. So
yeah, but there's a lot to unpack there too, man. That shows your drive. You know, I say this all the time. Anyone that follows me know, whoever solves the biggest problem for the most amount of people also makes the most amount of money. He saw a problem that presented itself and he was an entrepreneur and created a solution and got paid very, very well for it. But because he always kept his eyes open, he wasn't just, no, I'm going to focus on my one thing, right? He expanded to a different model that paid him even more, right? Which is huge. The other thing too, and you guys know on the podcast, we do our best not to talk about our own company. Yes, it comes up most of the time by accident. The numbers he's talking about right now are with previous companies at 5% and 10%. Ours is completely different. So
that's a long time ago.
I'm going to go ahead and apologize right now. Like if you are making that, there are comp plans out there that will blow that through the water because you deserve more. A humble opinion on that. Okay, so you're running appointments. Talk to me about that. Like, what does that look like? How did you learn to close? Are you sitting at the kitchen table? Walk me kind of through the cycle.
Yeah. So after shutting that down in 2021, when I went out there to close, we pretty much like self-taught ourselves how to do it. So I'm pretty much self-taught myself. I didn't really have any manager because we went out there with Vivint and at the time, and we're our own team, and they were just relaunching the solar program after selling Vivint Solar to Sunrun. They were relaunching Vivint Energy, so it was kind of it was pretty chaotic because nothing got to install. But then I switched to Sunrun that same year. But Sunrun just bought Vivint Solar, so they're going through a merger at the same time, and that was even worse. No joke, that was even worse.
What made it worse?
Oh man, their software, like their proposal software, is so glitchy that I remember. Oh man, so many times where I was in a house, and then the satellite footage would somehow completely change, and then the amount of panels on the roof would change, and then you have to explain to them why instead of 23 panels, you need 22 panels now because you can't fit. It was so dumb, and then it would glitch all the time and crash, and then if you had to change something, it would void everything. So it was just like constant issues, constant problems. But I heard they're getting rid of it this year after all this time, or at least soon, and coming out with something else. So yeah, they tried. I mean, it was just it wasn't a good experience for me at all.
But you pushed through it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I still that year I pushed a lot of deals through it, and it worked out by the end of the year. But then that's when I found, I found power that year, and I signed up like 3 days before the end of 2021.
I love that. You know, I'll unpack a little bit what you just said too, because I think it's important for newer people to sales, newer people to solar sales specifically. We are in the construction industry, my friends. Things show up, things go wrong. What he's talking about is pre-construction. That's just company, which sucks.
Yeah.
without saying the name again. But things show up, right? He could have easily have quit. Easily said, you know what? I'm going to go back, use my degree. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go back to my safety net, whatever. But he didn't. He pushed through. This is what entrepreneurs do. They find a freaking way. They don't let little hiccups, is what I call them, little speed bumps, deter them. And if he did, oh my gosh, how much money, and we even got to what he's making now, how much money would he have left on the table? I'll go ahead and tease you. We're talking millions, millions. So I applaud you for that, man, pushing
Thanks.
Through.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing that. Are you at this point, you're running appointments. Are you at the kitchen table? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, so that year, I'm selling in-house in 21. Yeah, I'm selling 100% in-house, meeting with customers, sometimes, you know, sell them on their doorstep, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's in person at their property. And then
What are you making per deal? How long are you spending with a client there?
Yeah. So when I did it in house, I spent longer than I should, like 2 hours. And that's why I like virtual now. Cause it's like,
yeah, we're going to talk about that. But yeah, but be honest, talk about what you were doing. Cause I remember these combos, man. Some were over 2 hours, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, there's one I'm thinking in particular. I was there for 6 hours. Actually, no, that's multiple times. I could think of many instances where I was there for like six to, you know, just for what conversation, you know, maybe credit. Yep. There's just so many reasons why, but I've always
so our average around two. What are you making per deal at that point?
My goal, especially last year, is to make like about seven.
No, not here. Like at the previous company when you were face to face.
Oh, I mean it was. I mean, I would say like 5 to 7 would be like an average what I shot for. Because so for me, I like to go for volume. So I don't like to go for giant commissions on some deals. I mean, the reason, at least my perspective is, you know, because I've done this, I've done giant commissions, and then sometimes they get another quote, and then you're like, you know, way more. And then they're like, oh, you lose trust. So I like to be kind of competitive and try to get as, you know, many deals. So like 5 to 7K has always been like, I always feel like that's super good, you know, super fair. I mean, there's deals I'll make over 10, you know, 12, 15. And then any of the huge ones, I'm like, sweet, you know, but I like to shoot for, you know, 5 to 7 and then, you know, like that. And then, you know, at times 7 to 10, but it really just depends.
Okay. And then that time when you're at the kitchen table, your front door, what did you like best?
So, I mean, personally, like, I prefer like 100. You mean like best in terms of like 100%, like virtual or versus in house, or how do you mean?
Yeah. So what did you like best about being in house? Like, was it easier to build rapport? Was it you know like more your natural element? Like, what does that look like?
So yeah, I mean the one advantage is you're like in the house. You know, you get to see them face to face. There's more of a little bit of trust built just from the fact that you're there in person. But I mean, I would say like, you have better conversations, longer conversations, so you meet more people. But I mean, personally, I like virtual now. I'll never go back. So, I mean, it's good for at the time, but now it's something I don't plan on doing twice.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and transition over, because I think that's why most people are here. As I teased in the beginning, when I met you 7-8 months ago, I remember some of the conversations we were having, because you were the solar god at our company, and I'm one of those. If someone knows more than I am, I'm going to reach out. We're not on the same team, other than we're owners in our company, right? And so we care about that. We care about the company. We care about people in the stock, obviously. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
But he was gracious enough to help me. I'm very good at recruiting and team building, and that's something he wanted to work on. We can talk about that too. And so we said, literally, we came to a meeting of the mind, said, dude, you tell me what you're doing on the solar sales side. I'll teach you what I'm doing on the team building. And it was a perfect marriage, for lack of a better phrase. But having said all that, when I met you, it was face to face, even at our current company.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, like, what was there something someone said? Like, what transitioned you from doing that to say, dude, I got to figure out this virtual sales side?
Yeah. So it's funny. So I think it was like May or June, I discovered Jeremy Miner. And then I got into their, you know, his inner circle, started his training, NEPQ. And then, I guess he ended up hitting me up, got an interview, and then a lot of people started reaching out, which connected me with this one guy that opened my mind to online lead gen. He's like, hey, I can generate 10 appointments a day. And I was like, really? That's possible? Because at the time, like last year, I was knocking and I had a setter. And with my setter, you know, you get like, you know, I think like 12 or so appointments a week plus my own. So maybe like 15, 20 a week. But he was like, I can get you 10 a day. So that kind of expanded my mind. And then he like disappeared for like a month. And I was like, dang, that sucks. So what happened, and then from there, what happened was I had this guy named Jacob. He was hanging out at my place. He was our setter manager. And we were just talking solar, trying to figure stuff out. And he came across a solar exclusive ad, which is the hat I'm actually wearing. And we saw a testimonial from one of the Bernassos. And he was saying how, you know, how good Solar Exclusive was and how they've used them, blah, blah, blah. So it was like, okay, this is crazy. So I booked a call, and then I talked to Travis, the account manager. And then I actually like signed up and I committed in the worst time possible. And the reason I say that, it was October, November, December. I committed 10,000 ad spend a month. So I committed a 3-month contract. So I pretty much committed like $40,000, $50,000 during the worst time. just to see if I could do it. Not intentionally, because I just didn't want to wait. I'm impatient. Yep. So I was like, I don't want to wait till next spring to try ads. I'd rather figure this out now and take the risk. I'm like, I can make 10,000 in out of, you know, that many leads they said. I was like, there's no way I can't do this. And I mean, it worked out. I mean, I think that month, like, I did 15 off that. And then I think I was doing 15 that the rest of the year, which, you know, that was a boost from where I was at. I mean, I had months where I've done more than that, but consistently getting to that 15 mark, I didn't do it every month, especially with, it was now virtual. It was Zoom at the time.
Is that 15 sales, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was 100% Zoom, by the way. And it wasn't until end of December I moved to just the phones.
Okay, we're going to get to the phones. Mm-hmm. So he's now at 15 appointments, or I'm sorry, 15 installs. I call them closings for my real estate days, but same idea. I love what you just said. I want to make sure it's not lost on the audience today. Hopefully you guys are seeing trends, right? Success leaves clues. I'm going to keep saying it. He bet on himself. He didn't wait for the stars, the moon, you know, the everything else, the universe to align to say, well, let me start this in the prime season of the spring. Yeah. No. Like, he would have left so much money on the table. He said, do I have to work harder? Probably. Am I going to have to be really good to make sure I close these, to make sure it works? Probably. And that's what he did. And he turned a profit. So now when spring comes, he's already 3-4 months ahead.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you guys are getting that. That is what leaders do. That is what business owners do. That's what drivers do. They figure it the blank out. I love that, dude. Okay, so you're running the Zoom. You're obviously killing it. Talk to me about the difference between Zoom appointment life and door-to-door appointment life. Like, are you buying back a lot of hours? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Zoom meetings were like hour, maybe hour and a half. I think they were a little bit longer than the phones, a little less than in-house, which was cool. But I was like kind of blown away. I remember I closed my first one over Zoom. I was like, did I just do that? And then I was just like thinking, I was like, is there a point of ever going in person again? And then I didn't even like look up any guides how to sell over the Zoom. I just figured it out myself. I just created my own thing. And then I think it was like in December, I was like starting to notice, I'm like, what's the point of this? Like, they don't even have their camera on half the time. And I'm just looking at myself, you know, and I'm just like, it's just like kind of weird. So it was like end of December, I started calling. And then I closed a few over the phone. I was like, did that really just happen? And then I completely stopped Zoom in January. And I think I did three Zoom sales. That's it.
So let's talk about that. So he goes from door to door, kitchen to kitchen, whatever you want to label it, to Zoom, killing it. He's starting to pick up on trends that his prospects weren't turning the camera on. By the way, I'll go ahead and add this because I do run 100% Zoom. I won't run one if their camera's not on. I won't. I think it's very, very hard to build rapport. Right. And it just is like, that's one of the questions I get, by the way, and I'm sure you do all the time from doing these, especially recruiting solar pros, building a massive organization, is how do you build rapport without being at the kitchen table? It's easy. You got to get creative with it. It's just like we're doing right now. I mean, you have that vibe that we are sitting face to face. That's the power of doing it. So he had a problem, right, where people aren't turning it on. He's like, well, why am I the only one with a camera on looking at myself, right? That is weird. I have done that. That's not fun.
Yeah.
And he says, dude, screw it. Let's go ahead and try this over the phone. So walk me through that. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I bought this headset, which is really cool. It's like I call it a Shox, Shokz. It doesn't sit in your ear.
Not sponsored yet.
Right. No, I really like them because like a side note, when I have headphones in, I feel like I talk a lot louder, but I feel like it's more natural with this because it doesn't sit in your ears. It sits like on the side of your head. I don't know how it works, but it just makes you, it just allows easier conversations. But so I ended up doing some closes over the phone. And then I was just like, maybe I could just do all of them over the phone. And then I just did that. And then I did that. And for a few weeks, and someone's like, or I think someone, I saw someone suggest from this program, to send a picture of the roof and of the proposal. So I did that for like a few weeks. And then I forgot one day to send pictures of the proposal. I don't know. It just skipped my mind. I just didn't send anything.
Yep.
And then I was like, do I need to send anything? So now I don't really send anything, and I just have conversations with people.
Okay, so walk me through it. You have a lead come in.
Yeah.
You obviously get a copy of the utility bill. You upload it. You have our proprietary technology, our software, do all that stuff without plugging it. You're then, are you texting them back? Are you emailing them back to set up the appointment? Are you doing a pre-call? Like, walk me through the cycle.
Yeah, so my calendar is always booked with appointments. So I have like, I think like 10 today later. And it's just like appointments I just call. So I don't do like discovery calls. It's almost the same as if you were to do like a setter closer model in a setter program without confirming anything. You just call and then see you know who answers. But the thing is, for me, I don't have the time to call, so I just do that. And I have a pretty good sit rate, so it's not a huge issue.
How long is that first phone call?
So that's the close.
Oh, so you actually, it's one and done.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't do like two-step closes unless I have to, I suppose, but it's pretty much 100% one step close.
So you're not calling to set the time with them or anything. If they answer the phone, you're running point on the presentation.
Yeah, I mean they booked it like, so with Solar Exclusive, they're exclusive set appointments for me on my calendar. They either book it themselves or the call center.
Yep.
And for anyone listening, make sure you let Travis and I'm the referral, hit up Travis. he's my guy. But essentially, it's booked on my calendar, and it's already booked for me. So they're waiting for the appointment. Long story short, so I call them. I have a proposal built ahead of time, and depending on the person, I'll have their usage or not. If I don't have their usage, I'll get it on the phone, updated on the spot. I know how the proposals work. I can have it built in like 30 seconds, and then. And then from there, just close it. And then occasionally.
Okay. On average, how long is the phone call?
So if it sells, we're wrapping everything up about 45 minutes. We're off the phone.
Okay.
If it doesn't, so like 30.
Can you break it through like the kind of steps? Like, are you building rapport 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Because there are people right now, I kind of want to dumb this down to be blunt.
Yeah.
Who are like, dude, there is no effing way this guy is closing over a phone call. I'm struggling over Zoom, right? Is what some limited belief person right now is thinking.
Yeah.
So you get them on the phone. Are you building a little bit of rapport in the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, I asked them, I specifically asked them, like, I start off by saying, hey, how's it going? Is this, say, Aaron? This is Garrett. How's it going? Something like that.
It's going well, man. Yeah. What's going on?
So I act like a normal person. Don't even say the company name. And then I just say, hey, before we kind of start, I always like to ask, what interests you about solar and what kind of questions do you have for me? And then from there, I'm just having a conversation. And then, throughout the conversation, I might make a joke or something, but it's like really just like pretty straightforward. And you know, I act like, you know, I'm the expert. I know what I'm talking about. Can I get some water, by the way?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know this is like my throat.
This is why you got to love Garrett, for those of you watching on YouTube.
I'm like getting super bad dry mouth.
No, you're good, man. You're good. Okay, so 30 minutes for a non-close. Obviously, he's closing most of them.
Yeah.
Those that he's taken all the way to contract are about 45 minutes. So that's a great line.
And then
just so I want to be clear. So you don't have a predetermined like script or like slide deck, even though they can't see it, that you're going through. You're really tailoring each one off the conversations they have.
Yeah. I mean, I just it's essentially I just have it's so much better. I feel like I can talk now. I essentially just have a conversation like you have with a friend. You're just trying to explain solar to them. And by the time we get to numbers, they just know how it works. They know net metering. You know, they know that tax credit, they know just everything. And then it's just like, you just say, hey, this is your new utility bill. You were paying say $250 a month to say $10 a month, whatever the connection fee is, whatever market, et cetera. And then your solar payment is X amount, which is say less expensive than what they're paying right now.
Yep.
So it's pretty, I keep it really simple.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second. That's okay, man.
Yeah.
I personally, and this is where I got to get better, right? This is why he's in my circle, to help me think bigger.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that we as human beings are taught to believe half of what we hear and almost all of what we see.
Yeah.
So the minute he told me this about a month ago, 45 days ago, I instantly that limiting belief that I call it the drunk monkey on your shoulder is saying, dude, like, how are you selling something for 40 grand, 50 grand, 60 grand, 70 grand without them even seeing it? Like you're not showing the panels on the roof. And he was like, every once in a while. And I was like, what? Like, whoa, like, Walk me through that. Do you get that objection? Like, dude, I love everything you're saying, but I want to see it.
Yeah, you know, really quick comment. I ask myself the same thing. I'm like, I can't believe people are just buying. You know, if they don't see, you know, it just blows. It's crazy. It blows my mind too. I mean, you know, I'm 3-4 months into doing this, you know, but like, it blows my mind that people are actually purchasing it without seeing. I had one guy tell me that, and really side note, it was like a week or two ago, one guy, older guy, he was like, he really wanted me in person. It was in another state. I couldn't be there. And I was like, yeah, I've helped, you know, 100 families this year or something. And he was like, they're all imbeciles. He's like, I would never buy something without seeing it. So, you know, that you get those people, obviously, apparently out there, but like, there's, of course, plenty of people that don't have any issue, you know, purchasing it. But what I do, like, depending on the customer, because yeah, I mean, some really quick, this is the thing, like when they sign the contract, they're going to see how many panels. When they get the final designs, they're going to see where the panels are going to be. How many times have you seen on the proposal where, you know, now that we've switched, it's probably different, I haven't used it yet. They're always like, it's always wrong. You have to explain like, hey, you know, the panels are, you know, they didn't put the right count, or, you know, they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's never truly right anyway. So they don't really need to see it, because it gives them the wrong expectation. Because it's like, how many times do they're like, hey, can you change it? You know, and you're like, yeah, no problem. But that's not going to be the final design. They're going to have a final design they're going to send to them that they're going to see, that they're going to approve.
Interesting you say that, man. And obviously, I didn't know he was going to go there. What I love about you, what you just said, is you changed your mindset before you even talked to them about it. Because what he just said is right. I tell clients all the time over Zoom, don't fall in love with the current layout. This is probably about 90, 95% right. Like, I do believe in it. But I tell them this is an advanced rough draft.
Exactly, right? You don't need to show them.
Right? But so he's right when he says that. Like, why even show him something that's not 100%? After we do a site survey, we're going to have it. Dude, that's interesting, man. That might have been the little nugget I needed to try this strategy. Okay, so you're running these appointments over the phone. Are you, and be honest, this is uncensored. Like, past clients aren't going to see it. Are you always at home, you know, like with your desk, your notepad? Are you in the car? Have you ever been on the beach? Like, has this allowed you to expand where you run appointments at?
I mean, for me, I just sit at my desk and I sit on a wooden chair. No joke.
You've never been in the car. So like you are diligent. You're going to be here.
So there's one time I got stuck at Target. So I ended up doing the proposal in my car. I almost closed it. That one didn't close. Oh, there was one I was almost closing. It was so funny, actually. I was driving, and I hate to say this, my car has adaptive cruise control, so it's probably bad to say, but I had the laptop to the side. I was on the phone, and he was like, "What's the next step?" while I was driving, and I think what happened was I was like, "Crap, I need to pull over." I heard the noise, like brake or something. Then he was like, kind of weirded out, but I was trying to close him while I was driving.
That's hilarious.
It was really
okay.
Close.
So overall, you are pretty diligent about being at home, being set up, treating it like a real appointment. Yeah. Okay, cool. It would have made for a great story though if you made $12,000 sitting at Target parking lot. No, right? Yeah, that would have been an awesome thumbnail. Okay, so you're doing the Zoom.
I want to say. A quick story about someone I did close that I have this girl I close. She was getting her hair done at the salon, and she's going to install, like, legit. She signed docs and everything while getting her hair done at the salon, like dead ass. Like,
dude. So what's interesting about that, man? Like I said, I have very strict rules when I run appointments. Anyone on my team knows their cameras must be on. And they must be on a computer or like a tablet at home or like an office. Like they can't be moving around. Dude, so maybe we are overthinking this. I say we are, you're not. But like where it has to be like this big thing, they're spending $50,000. They got to treat it. Maybe they don't.
And let me tell you something. This has happened many times. So her hairdresser had solar, actually. This is in Nevada. So then after I got off the call, she signed docs. She did everything, loan docs, the agreement, sent me everything I needed. while getting her hair done. And it was funny because her hairdresser gave her all these like questions to ask. So she got like five bids. She canceled for like a good solid 2 weeks, but I kept texting her and I saved the deal and I beat all other companies. And I think three of them were in person. And I've beaten many people that I've gone against in person. So you could beat in person people too. There's no issues.
I love that. Is there a reason or two of why you think you're beating the in-person people who obviously have an upper hand, you would think, for building rapport?
I think there's so many noobs out there that don't know anything. So like customers pick up on this, and when you act and sound like you know like everything about this, you know, they're going to trust everything you say.
Love it. Love it. What do you, and hopefully you don't mind me, well, it doesn't matter. You're on camera now. You have to. You can yell at me later. Right now, how many deals are you averaging closed a month?
Yeah, so up until this month, because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, and I'm gone half gone last
week. Yeah, on average, so I get it.
I've been averaging, so January I did 28, February I did 37, and then last month I did 26. And then so
okay,
far...
Okay, so we're around 30.
Yeah, so like roughly, yeah, like, yeah, I would say 30 a month, pretty consistent. I seem to average like about 8 deals a week consistently, some weeks more, some weeks less.
That's awesome, man. Huge, huge congrats. I know everyone listening to this would 99% of the solar industry, sales industry would kill for that. What kind of take home are you bringing in for that, all that hard work on average with our company?
Yeah, so it's, I have a lot of deals right now in the pipeline, but it's like, so I'm at a point, to be completely real, where I don't, I just don't even check the commissions. I just keep selling them and just, just have it come in, but six figure months for sure. So it's,
dude,
it's
badass,
I'm
man.
Shooting like this year, it's going to be my biggest year of my life. I would only imagine so, but if I keep this pace up, it's going to be at least 300 sales for the year. And, I'm shooting to make minimum $1 million, if not like 2 million plus.
Can I coach you for a second?
Sure.
Not if I keep this pace up, man. You're a freaking stud. Right now, this is what I'm going to do. Say it with confidence. Yeah. Own it, man. Own it. You're an absolute solar rock.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm going to keep, there's no doubt I'm keeping the pace for sure. No doubt. I mean, my calendar is like insane right now. And, you know, this, 300 is my minimum target this year. And who knows, the summertime, because this is just January, February, March numbers. You know, this is like preseason numbers. You know, I'm averaging like one sale a day on almost every day. So I can imagine that might turn to two sales a day. Like I just had one of the girls just tag me. She was sending deals to a mentor, hasn't been able to get me a sale. Her first deal she got me, sold it. Most people I'm selling if I get in a conversation, like a full conversation, and it's not a shopper, because there are those types of phone calls that specifically are shoppers. But like, regular conversations, closing, like I feel like consistently at a pretty, like if I meet with three, I mean, one or two selling for sure.
Dude, that's solid, man. Real solid. You mentioned mentor deals. I know our company offers that. I know most of your deals are personal. Are you now opening it up to running some mentee deals as well?
Yeah. I mean, people are tagging me when they can. Now they are.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's starting to open, because I haven't really focused on that at all.
Yep. And by the way, for those listening with our company running those deals, he couldn't have done that if he was still doing face-to-face.
Yeah.
There's no bandwidth. When you're running 2-hour appointments, you can't run 10 appointments a day. You know, another question too, and we have not talked about this at all, but hearing you talk about the numbers and the income you're making, man, I'm honestly proud of you. I'm excited for you. That is wealth. You're flat dominating, and that's why I really wanted to get your story out. One question I have is, and this came from my real estate days, very similar commission style where you can make a lot of money for those like you that grind. We did very, very well. We had a lot of people on our team do, but I used to have a joke with other leaders in the real estate space that I could help an agent. I could help a solar pro have a $60,000 month. And unfortunately we didn't see them again for 2 or 3 months. Like they would be like, oh my God, I'm rich. I'm rolling around butt naked in $100 bills. And they end up not physically checked out, but they end up like taking off. Like their actions are not here.
Yeah.
How are you staying so freaking driven, making 6 figures a month to get up and run 10 appointments the next day, 10 appointments the next day? Walk me through your mindset.
You want to know the truth? It could be a little controversial.
100%.
But okay. I look at the country and I see everything falling apart and getting worse across the board. And I'm trying to get as much money as possible as soon as I can before it's too late so I can leave this country. I'm trying to get out. That's why I'm moving to Puerto Rico. And then I want to move to Dubai in a few years. I have friends there. I'm just trying to get multiple citizenships across the world to set myself up so I don't get trapped here, because I don't see a good future in this country unless things turn around fast. So for me, I have massive urgency, like I'm trying to escape. And funny enough, I'm Jewish, so it kind of feels the same as if I could imagine running from the Holocaust, you know, back then. That's what's motivating me. Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm literally just trying to, like, escape and not have to worry about working the rest of my life to escape what's to come in the future in this country and world.
Interesting perspective,
that's,
man.
Literally what motivates me.
One key word you said, though, I think it's important, again, just once again, I'm dumbing it down, make sure everybody's missing it. Urgency. I love that word. He is running around with his hair on fire, like there is no tomorrow. And you need that to be able to push through and do what he's doing. I'm telling you, the average person listening, if we helped you, and we do it every day, helped you make six figures a month. I had one guy, you ready for this, Garrett? I don't think I've shared it. He is so reserved. I can't even use his name. Wants no recognition at all. His first 30 days on our team made 96 grand.
Nice.
Never done solar, dude. So we're experienced. I mean, this is what we do. He is driven like Garrett, though. The next month he showed up. It was 110. But the average person, I'm going to be real, is not. They're taking off. Hey, Garrett, I'll see you around in July. They're going to go use it. You can't build wealth that way. You got to push through. I love it. We're getting near the end. I know you have a really tight schedule. What advice, Garrett, would you give someone? I'm going to ask a couple questions on this, but what advice would you give someone brand new who is maybe in sales, but they're not in solar, thinking about, you know, taking that plunge, thinking about jumping in full time? What advice would you give that person?
I mean, you don't want to be 5 years from now wishing you did it. Just do it. I mean, this is not going to be here forever. That's also another motivator in the start. That's how I started. That was my first initial, before all that other fun stuff. But that was my first initial motivator, was to, you know, make hay while we can. Tax credit was supposed to end this year, so I was working, you know, to make as much time in that, you know, that same time period. So that's what motivated me. But I would say, like, you know, you don't want to regret any, you don't want to regret this. I'm sure there's other things you regret in life. Don't add this to your list and just do it. I mean, this isn't an easy industry. I've seen a lot of people try and quit, but if you stick through it, you know, you're going to get to the other side. Cause there's been plenty of times that I've thought about quitting, just like anyone else. So, like, believe it or not, you get frustrated. You're just so annoyed. Like, you know, it happens to literally every single person, but it's just how you deal with it and whether or not you can get through it and moved on to the next, you know, the next step, or you're going to see yourself spiral and, you know, and then you end up just giving up because, you know, every person you talk to, they can feel that desperation off you. So I would just say, like, get in, don't quit, be persistent, and find a way to make it work, because this is the best paid industry you could ever be in for the least amount of work you have to do. That is for sure.
I'll echo it 100%. You know, 7-8 months ago when I got started, I knew nothing about solar. I could barely spell the word. I saw the compensation plan. It was word for word exactly what we built at EXP, and we turned it into a multi-billion dollar company. And I said, oh my gosh, God is blessing me with EXP round two. I'll figure out how to spell solar. And so I jumped in, just like Garrett. I didn't have any answers. This is what I wanted to do on paper. I fell in love with it. We're helping a lot of people. We're helping the environment, whatever your belief on that is. And we get paid insane, insane commissions. I can't speak for every company. I know our company in particular is usually 3 to 5 times more than every other company. Couldn't help myself, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Garrett, I speak for everyone on our show. I just want to say thank you. You are a legend. You are a rock star. You are humble. You come from contribution. You take my call, even though I know you don't feel like it sometimes. So I just appreciate you. For those of you listening, I know that you got massive value. Garrett and I do this for free. So please subscribe to the podcast, our YouTube channel, throw some comments. Garrett's going to be checking. I'll make sure I tag him with all his information so you guys can reach out to him as well. We are here to serve. We are here to lead. I hope each and every one of you have an amazing, amazing day. Garrett, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later.